All right, so last time I did this and I almost didn't do it and then I did. So I think it's the right thing to do because you can't ever use too much God. So if we could, can we read Psalm 37? I mean, I'm just going to do like the fastest version ever of Psalm 37. So if you've got your little phones or whatever, turn to it. Because we're looking at time right now, and I think we all sense it. We're going to talk about this. But let's see if we recognize some things in Psalm 37 that perhaps are going on right now. All right. Psalm 37. All right, ready? Prepare your hearts. Take it in. Oh, I'm sorry. By the way, I have King James. I apologize. But we'll get through it. Psalm 37, here we go. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, right? Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't forget. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait kind of patiently for him, if you can. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. I think a list just came up in a lot of our brains. Cease from anger. That's a hard one. And forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers will be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Pretty quick now, I think. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, and you shall diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. Sound familiar? And the Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as have an upright lifestyle. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. That's a good one. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be, what, Pastor Steve? Forever. Forever. No, you're awesome. Don't sweat it. I shouldn't have called upon you, but there it was. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as a fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, and they shall be consumed away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. That's a good time to remember that. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwells therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. the law of the God, of his God, is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Amen. Amen. And why do I read this? We've all read this psalm. We've all read it probably lots of times. I need to fix my thing. Look at how many times it says that the wicked shall be cut off, and those that trust in the Lord shall inherit the earth. And I think we all agree we're in an unusual time right now. We've seen it. It's like a little switch has been flipped. Don't you agree on what we're seeing in society and our culture? And I think that's why we're here today. How many of us think maybe we are in really, 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 really actually in the last days? I mean, we really think we are. We're seeing things that we've never seen before in America, and America is the last godly nation. And I think a lot of us have just been stunned by the things we've seen in this past year. Coming up on almost exactly a year since lockdown, right? That was like March 15th, I think, yeah. March 15th, almost a year. And what have we lost in that time, right? We've lost so much ground. And the things that we'd hoped would not happen have happened. And things that we hoped would happen have not happened. And so where are we? What do we have? So we're going to talk today about the problems, the questions, the things that have arisen because what's so obviously a sudden change of times right now. And as we said, we have a lot of political views about things that could have, should have happened, and we have a lot of political views about what's happening right now and where we see things going. And we have a lot of people in our life that don't see things the way we do, right? Whether we're talking about a close family or just outside of our nuclear family, right? Or a little distant family, friends that we used to have, friends that we might have on social media, people that have friended us, right? And then there's our work sphere. And then there's just people that we daily encounter that, you know, while we're shopping. So there's people in our sphere right now who don't see things the way that we feel like God's shown us to see them. And it causes conflicts. And a lot of you have shared, especially when I did my first talk, which is why this came up, a lot of you have shared that you have difficulties communicating with the various people in your life over all the crazy things that have happened. How many of you have had troubles communicating with others about these problems? Okay. So some of you perhaps are completely surrounded by people who agree with you. So that's good for you. That's not typical. So good for you. And maybe many of you just feel confident in the Lord, and that's really important. So we're going to kind of talk about what are we in these times. And so we're thinking about, if we believe these are the last times, then what's our priority? What's our priority in that situation? What do you guys think?
Oh, saving souls.
Right? It really is saving souls, isn't it? Oh, that's true. So, and I like it because this is what was coming up. Here we have a theme today. We've got the anniversary of Emmaus Road, right? And Neil and Yvonne are talking about that. Saving souls. I mean, and then Pastor Steve, it fits right in. Our priority is saving souls. You know, it's easier said than done, though, isn't it? I tell you, I get up in the morning and I pray, and oh, Lord, help me to save somebody's life today, and da-da-da. And then I get in my car, and I start running my errands, and people don't seem to know my plan for the day. And so it's real easy to get caught up in just routine day-to-day stuff. I think when we're in here, it's super obvious. And so what's our priority? The answer, of course, is to save souls. I mean, it's always been the priority, and yet has it really always been our priority? Like every day? So if it's the last times, I mean, if it really is the last times, I mean, we've got some prophecies probably coming up that we're thinking about. And we start seeing they're all lining up. Things are all lining up. We've read the book Revelation. We've read Daniel. We are super, super close. And it's really just time to change our mindset. And those of you who've already done it, God bless you. But we need to keep doing it. Change our mindset so that literally the day-to-day stuff now becomes subservient, right? If you categorize, you know, we've had responsibilities. We've got family responsibilities. We've got my retirement. Do you know how confused I've been about retirement? I really do believe Jesus is going to come back before I retire. I believe that. Like, I've always believed that. And the Lord told me when I was like 17 years old that I was going to get raptured. I don't know if it's true. It's something that popped into my head, and it felt true ever since. So all my life, since I was like 16, 17 years old, I believed I'm going to get raptured. What does that mean? That means that things that would happen won't happen for me. Right? You start looking at it that way. And the same thing with retirement. I'm agonized over retirement because I know I should be planning my retirement. I should be saving money for my retirement. I should be working very hard to earn money, to have this nest egg. And yet, part of me goes, that's what you do. That's the right thing to do. And the other part of me goes, you're never going to use it. You're going to leave it to somebody else. And they obviously didn't know Jesus. So anyway, so my point is, it really, really is time to flip that switch in our own brain. And what can we do? How do we change our thinking? So here's some things we're going to start. We're going to hit the notes, and let's take a look at changing our thinking. Start every day with a prayer. Very hard to do. Find the way to do it before you commit to any kind of exchange with other people. Start the day with prayer to soften the hearts ahead of you. God, if you've prepared your heart to talk to people, then God will send you people to talk to. If you're not ready, he's going to send them somewhere else because you'll screw up the exchange, right? You will be like, blah, right? Not that he doesn't send us people, but if he sends us people, because he thinks we're ready. So pray to soften the hearts of the people you encounter, whether it's on Zoom or it's out in the workplace or it's you get texts and social media exchanges with people. Soften the hearts ahead of you to give you patience and wisdom. Patience and wisdom. Not to take the bait of Satan. And you guys know what I'm talking about. And Satan knows that one thing he can zing you with that will get you to respond or come back in the wrong way. Many of you are patient. You probably don't need this. You can come up here and teach us. But to pray to stay on your goal. You really only have one goal, and you have to get that straight, because if you had competing goals and you have to pick in a moment which one to go with, you could pick the wrong one. Satan will make sure you pick the wrong one because you've made it a toss-up. So stay on the goal and to stay in peace. You have the truth. You have the truth. You actually know more than anybody else on the planet who does not know the truth. Even scientists, they think they're so smart. They look through their little things, they do their little math. God bless them. God's given them talent. And they draw the most ridiculous, illogical conclusions. I'm like, really? You believe everything came out of nothing? Well, it's more complicated than that. I don't think so. Right? And so the point is, you have the truth and you have wisdom. Let that give you peace. Have your peace return to you and walk patiently. Don't be quick to take the bait. All right, quickly, do not confuse your opinion with God's core truths. And this is something I notice a lot when I talk to people, right? We may have a political perspective, and the political perspective may be right, but some of those elements of the political perspective aren't that important to God, right? Obviously, you may feel it's important to have a border that is, properly monitored, right? We want people to apply to come through the border. That may be your priority. You may think we need a good border. You may think that. You may not think that. But does God think that's one of his core truths, that he needs people? Does he want you to get in a battle over the border? It may be a good idea. There's a lot of reasons for it. But say you'll go, oh, yeah, let me get him talking about the border, ruin this relationship with somebody, and then now they're not going to listen to you when you talk about Jesus, when you talk about other core truths. And so we have to find a way to talk about those things. And the way to do it is don't use your opinion in the place of God's core truths. And be careful. God warns us in the second commandment, right? He says, don't use the Lord's name in vain. Well, he's not talking about cussing, although that's part of it. He's talking about don't speak for the Lord if you're not representing him rightly. And so be thoughtful about that. Think about that. And it actually requires take some time ahead of time. Well, what are things that I find are God's core truths that we should fight for? And so we'll talk about some of those things. All right. And then Satan wants to tear down relationships. He wants to find ways to separate you from the people in your life. But your priority is to build them, right? That's how we win people to Christ, is by building relationships. Satan wants to tear them down. Once you recognize that, you can start to see the stumbling blocks, right? This will tear it down. This will build it up. And what does that mean? It usually means humbling ourselves, right? It doesn't mean not standing on the truth. It means humbling ourselves. And so think about this. You are now a secret agent for Jesus. Amen. All right. Yes. Amen. And so your work is undercover. If you recognize that you're an undercover agent, you will do anything not to blow your mission. Okay. And so see that. See yourself as that undercover agent for Jesus, and the enemy is cunning. But you want to model Jesus's methods. How did he do things? He was very wise. He was judicious. He thought about things before he said them. And he selected the most important things, right? And so things that he would do, obviously he was always prayed up for the battle. So every day pray. Recognize this is a battle. If we are in the last days, Satan knows his time is short. He probably knows we're going to leave soon. He would love it if he could stall us and get us caught up in dumb stuff, and then we get raptured. And we're like, oh, I didn't finish what I was going to do. All right, so keep prayed up for the battle. Another trick is don't answer questions. Ask questions. Jesus did that a lot, right? Because Satan wants to pick the battleground, and he'll accuse you. Oh, yeah, if that's true, how about blah, blah, blah? And Satan will make sure they pick something that'll get you tangled in the weeds. Don't go for it. Don't answer that bait. Switch it to a question. And that's why it takes thinking ahead of time, what are the core things that you want to talk about to people? What are the things you want to keep coming back to? It's like when I talked to Jehovah's Witnesses, they used to get me all over the place. Right? They would throw out, what about the rain on the earth? What about, and they would like, you know, throw out all this crazy stuff to get, and I would have to, and I was fighting the battles they were picking, right? And so we'd get, and pretty soon I'd get frustrated with getting these disputes because I'd no sooner answer their question than they'd throw a new one at me. I felt like I wasn't winning, covering any ground. And then I felt like God said, look, if there's only one thing you need to talk about, Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is God. That's it. Forget everything else. And no matter what they throw at me, they go, hey, well, what do you think? And I've had lots of encounters. No matter what they throw at me, I'll go, I don't know. You know, it's interesting, and we could talk about that. But I'm curious, and then I'll switch it to what I want to talk about. And that's what you have to do is you have to find those things first. And so I've probably told many of you, I just go, hey. And their problem is they've retranslated their Bible. Right, it's completely different than ours. You can't read your Bible. It's not the same as their Bible. They won't accept it, and so you have to think about that. Just like when we're talking to people who think differently, they have a different mindset. They might be, they don't see the things of God the way, they don't see politics the way that we do, and they're getting their information from very different channels than we do. And we have to recognize that, right? And so just like with, well, how do I do that? And I realized that Jehovah's Witnesses, I found a scripture that they use, that they didn't change, that I can use to show that Jesus is God. You know, God will give you that wisdom. That's what's so cool about it. Present him a problem. How do I talk about this to somebody? How do I do it? And pray about it. Say, Lord, show me what's the touch point. How do I talk about this to somebody? And he'll show you. And God showed me. Matthew 18:20, wherever two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I always ask them, I just simplify it to that. I say, hey, you got your Bible? They always have their Bible. They're happy to open it. They're happy to read it. They're happy to read anything in their Bible because they have confidence in it. And I have them read in Matthew 18:20, wherever two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And then I say, that, see? And they go, yes, yes, that's wonderful. And I go, oh, who's saying that? And they go, it's Jesus. And I say, there you go. Jesus can be everywhere at one time. Only God can do that. Therefore, Jesus is God. Anyway, have a great day, right? And then go. Because it's about planting seeds, right? It's about planting seeds. And the ideal way is to plant a seed is to plant it based on what your audience holds true, what your audience values. So you have to think about, and you have to reshuffle. It's not a blanket, this goes everywhere. It's like, we'll put something on social media. I say, wait, that's dumb. I don't have that. But anyway, we put things on social media, and it's a blanket, right? And then, but everybody sees that differently. And the problem with those things is that sometimes we're not really good at thinking about how different people will take it, and we'll talk about that. You have to think about, what does my audience have in common? Or what does that one particular person value that I value? I can touch on the point that way. Instead of forcing them to look at things from my perspective, which they've already determined they will not do, I look at things from their perspective and I say, oh, but here's the things that we have in common. I'm going to highlight my argument to make that point. And so that's what you do. And that's why you need to be in prayer. You need to be kind of receptive, perceptive. You also, as we'll find out, asking questions. That's a way to do it, is to ask questions. And when you ask a question, it gives you time to sit back and let them talk. You gather information about what they think, about their views. And you also force them to kind of think through an idea. All right, but we ask good, gentle questions. We don't ask questions and then force them to say things they don't want to say. If you put somebody in a corner and you make them say something that they don't want to say, they'll just be angry at you. It's sometimes better to just leave it. Well, what do you think? Do you think this is it? And if you could tell they don't really want to answer, just say, oh, it's all right. You don't have to answer me now. I mean, think about it. Come back to me on that, right? Because if you trust God, God's the one that's going to use that seed. And he's going to go, yeah, what do you think about that? And they'll have to deal with it in their own heart and mind. We don't have to be the ones to close the deal. We're the seed planters. We're the relationship builders. We're the ones that leave the door open. We don't want them to go and just be like, I'm out of here. That's it, right? All right. Oh, good. Well, that's over. So We want to stay prayed up. Keep your eye on the priorities. Focus on the big issues. Think of examples and analogies ahead of time that you can use. All right. Remember, you are building relationships. You are not scoring points. Okay. In fact, you'll probably lose points if you think, ah, I got them. They couldn't say anything. If you're doing that, that probably didn't go well. Right? Because you want their hearts to stay open. Quote key scripture at times. And then, I'm going to do something real quick. All right. It's just going to restart. Use key scripture when you can. So many of you already have scripture that you're aware of that you can use. But don't always throw it out there. Let the Lord show you this is a great time for that. You know, every now and then I'll be like, well, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. I know you're not a fool, right? So you kind of, but you have to pick those little moments to do that. Well, you know, and you do it in a way where it's kind of like not, right? So find ways to diffuse tension, right? So it's near the bottom of that bullet point. Well, they're all bullet points. Find ways to diffuse tension, right? Like laugh, maybe change the subject, let them off the hook. Once you've made a good point, the worst thing you can do is drive it home so they turn and kind of are so mad at you that Satan takes it out of their heart, right? And so, you can save things for later. You say, look, I laid a little foundation. I talk to them all the time. I can come back to that later. And then, most of all, show interest in them, right? So ask them questions, right? Listen to what's on their heart. You know, you can even say, well, what? I can tell you're frustrated. What was frustrating to you about that? Lots of times we don't want to ask. We want to do all the talking. I don't know if you've noticed that's me. But I try. I try, especially when I'm getting to know what's important to somebody, you know? I try to ask. You know, well, what's going on? Why did that bother you? Or what is it that's really on your mind? So that's what I try to do. So I recommend being prepared to sit back and listen. You learn a lot when you ask questions. You're going to let me do it? There we go. Yep, there we go. So, and then last on that those little sub-bullet points, ask questions, listen to them, let them know that you care, but don't compromise on the truth. I'm not certainly suggesting you ever compromise on the truth or something that you know it's truth. Just have a sense of knowing when to use the truth and when to stand by it, how to say it. And a lot of that is about praying, spiritually, just having that spiritual sense. I'm sure all of you have been talking and you felt like the Lord was saying, no, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Or is it coming out? I've had this happen where it's coming out, literally coming out with this nasty tone, and God changed it in my mouth. And I go, I go, yes. I was about to really blow it. Okay, so near the bottom of the page. So what is the battle? So I want you to picture right now, especially those of you who've had some raucous drag out fights. If you get into sort of a fight or a heated discussion, a heated argument with somebody, imagine you're in this heated argument and suddenly there's a big earthquake or there's a fire or they're like, oh, there's something wrong with my heart, right? Are you going to keep arguing with them, right? So there's no way you would stop arguing. That now all of a sudden, that seems like the least important thing in the world for what's going on. Well, we have to go around thinking that argument is the one thing we cannot do. And there's this distinction between arguing and inviting conversation. And we want to do that. So we're talking about changing your thinking. So the emergency is happening now. We've all agreed. We're in the last days. And we are in the KOG, right? We're undercover in the KOG, the Kingdom of God. So we've been activated. We're on. It's actually what we have been waiting for as believers. This is actually the time we've been waiting for. And because things aren't going maybe the way we want them to go. I think it caused us to get thrown back for a little bit. But now we get it. We're in the last days. And switch our thinking. It's time to go into undercover mode, right? So you have to handle this with cunning, prayer, courage. Be courageous, humility, boldness, and love. Sometimes it will look like you're losing, right? But we're not. We are in the kingdom of God, so we're going to win. All right, so this is not a political battle. It's a spiritual one, so change your thinking. Those who do not want to walk in the Spirit will not see it. So you have to understand, some of you are dealing with people that they are not spiritual. They do not have the spiritual mind. And you think, I can't believe they treated me like that. I can't believe they talked to me like that. I can't believe it, right? Nope, get rid of it. They don't have a spiritual mind. They are not going to get it. It's like telling a five-year-old, why don't you understand algebra? You know, it's like, they don't. They just don't. Stop expecting that. Change your thinking. We want to get them. That's the point, all right? And so remember, your job is not to mount a defense against any political situations going on right now. I think a lot of us were really shocked by the election. And we had people, we should be very shocked by the things that are happening. And they're literally coming after people who think like we do, right? Bank of America, right? You guys heard, tracked everybody who used their debit cards or their credit cards, used their accounts to go to Washington, D.C., to have a hotel there, to pay for. They actually gathered that information and gave it to the federal government without them asking, right? So this is why I'm going to say later, you need to know your Constitution, and we're going to talk about that a little. But they're gathering information, and once you know the Constitution, you can kind of see some also what they're trying to do. Because, you know, they do want to silence us. And you find all these venues for silencing us. And it's very frustrating. And it's not right. It's unjust. It's completely unjust. That should be a clue about the times that we're in. Did you guys know, I don't know if you saw, but you know how I put my little signs out front, you know. Mm-hmm. What's your problem? Jesus is the answer, right? I don't know how many things have happened to that, Pastor Steve, all right? And different. Well, I don't think they've been blown away, but maybe. But we've got it on video. They've been taken. They've been. Okay, so the latest one. So I just replaced one, and it turns out the other was missing that morning, so it's funny. But that's okay. So we came, and apparently this couple came, right? Pastor Steve said this couple came late at night when nobody's around, looking around, and went up to the sign that says Jesus is the answer. And they,
actually, it was in the day, 3 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, daytime. See, I've been telling the story wrong. Thank you. It's right in broad daylight. And they brought spray paint. And they sprayed on the one that says Jesus is the answer. They sprayed no exclamation point. And do you know what that tells me? It's working. Right? And that's what we have to understand. Satan is tearing down the foundations of everything that God gave us in this country. And we are the last nation on the planet that's a Christian nation. And Satan's taken us out, taken down the foundations. That should be a clue. We're doing something right. And why should we be any different than all the other nations that have had to suffer persecution? It's our time. And it's not like what people are enduring today. It's not nearly as horrible as what others Christians are enduring for, you know, hundreds of years. It's nothing like that. But because we're the last stronghold, the spotlight's on us. And we have to realize that the spotlight is always on the Christians. And they're looking to stumble us, right? The accuser of the brethren, right? So Satan's the guy who who gets you to do the wrong thing, and then he publicly accuses you of doing the wrong thing. It's like, yeah, but you, oh, that's you, right? And so we have to recognize the time that we're in. If the more oppression or the more that we feel people resisting the truth, the more obvious it is, the time is short. We've got to take that and not take that frustration. I could be frustrated that I've replaced that sign several times. My mom said, hey, why don't you just, put it so where nobody can get to it? And I thought, because I want to see them see that sign right back where I left it. And I said, God may change that. I ordered two this time, right? The point is, we walk with God. We ask God, how do you want us to handle this? What do you want us to do? Yes, we can make a gigantic list of everything that's going wrong right now and where we know it's going, right? We can make that gigantic list. But it shouldn't be a list to discourage us. It should be like, okay, now we know. Now we know where we are. Now we know what's going on. We're going to shine our light, all right? So when you think about when we meet these people, whether they're close to you or not, you're thinking about, how do I change their minds? So remember, your assignment is a covert rescue operation of whoever you encounter, right? And you have to sneak messages behind enemy lines to prisoners held, right, in Satan's, prisoner re-education camps. And those prisoners must be convinced to escape. Right? So you have to change your thinking. The person in front of you is not the enemy. The person in front of you is a prisoner of war. And you have to figure out, how do I convince them to escape? All right? And the enemy's already trained them to internalize the narrative of the day, of the culture, of society. They've internalized it. They buy it. They, everywhere they look, that's the narrative. They've accepted it. They've received it. And you may go, how can you believe this? Well, just work with it, all right? And he's already inoculated them against your political arguments. But the problem is, if you fight on a political level, if you fight spiritually the way Jesus fought for the core values, if you switch to those thinking, Satan's never been really great at that. He keeps losing, I'm afraid. All right, so Satan's goal is to discredit, disable, and disqualify you as a witness to the truth with the people in your sphere of influence. So don't be a sucker. Don't fall for it. You can see it. You know when you're going to fall for it. You must not fight your enemy on his territory through the person who's attacking you, especially those of you who've received attacks. You need to rescue that person by keeping your peace. Don't take Satan's bait. Get them to trust you and challenge them to adhere to their own core values. Know your audience. Understand what's important to them. All right, so here's the different people groups that you might encounter. You see at the bottom of page 2. Enemies of the truth. So whenever you encounter somebody who's literally an enemy of the truth, they hate God. They work for the establishment that's working against you. You know it. That when you're talking to those people, then go ahead, stand for truth. If you're talking about social media, post things on your social media. If God's called you to stand for truth and to call out things that are wrong, do it. Go ahead and do it. Do whatever God's called you to do. But you have to keep in mind how the people that you're most concerned with will feel about those posts. So if you just want to rage against the machine, all right, think about how people that you really want to bring back to the Lord, how will they perceive that? How will it affect them? And so post things in a way that can be easily received. Put them out for deliberation, right? Always think about those things. So stand for the truth. And with people, if they directly challenge you and they hate God, and know that it's okay. Stand for the truth. And you don't even have to apologize. If I've met people who, worship Satan. And, you plant a little seed and then you don't compromise. You just plant a little seed and say, you know, I don't know why you chose the losing side, but, you know, but you know, I'm going to follow God. God loves you, but if you don't want to go to heaven, that's your call. You won't, you know, and you can tell him stuff like that, right? Top page 3, you definitely want to avoid angry disputers. If somebody wants to just sucker you into an angry dispute, don't do it. You know that they simply want to fight, and don't get entangled in fights. Just find ways to disengage graciously. You're not going to win them. Satan's using them to distract you, to make you angry. And so find ways to disengage, right? Don't lose your peace. And just say, you know, obviously you've decided I'm not going to be able to change your mind, and that's up to you. So, all right, take care. And then if they want to, I mean, I've had somebody follow me around, and I just say, bye, goodbye, goodbye. Finally, they give up and go, because I said, I'm not trying to change your mind. You obviously, I can't change your mind, you know. And just disengage, because that person, no matter how much evidence you give them, they're going to just swoop it out of the way and, like, demand more. So forget it. Then there's people on the fringe, the people that you might encounter at work or in passing. They're not in your close inner circle. So you want to avoid all disputes with these people. Do not dispute with somebody that you do not have a close relationship with, because the encounter will go wrong, all right? You lose an opportunity to plant a seed. Instead, engage in polite conversation, right? If you hear somebody going, oh, we ought to take all those so-and-sos out there and shoot them, right? Don't be, are you kidding? I mean, don't. Just say, just disengage. You just say, well, I'm glad that we don't do that with everybody we disagree with. Whatever. Say something funny. Say something light. Plant a seed, but don't get into disputes with people. And if you get an opportunity, just make one nice little, just pray about it. Say, God, is there one thing you want me to say, and leave them with a smile? Boy, it's so hard to be mad at somebody when they're smiling. And so you can build a quick relationship with somebody right there, making your coffee, and don't get into the weeds with them. But use it as a chance to plant a seed. People who are Christians and claim to be saved, those people, they're clueless. We don't know what's, you know, there are some people that are just clueless about what's happening, what it means, what these times are. Those people, you got to wake them up. You're a Christian? Okay. Let's talk about this. And then engage them. Don't argue, but stand strong. Those people you got to shake. Those people you got to shake, because they're claiming to be Christians, so they should be able to take it, okay? And you know, you plan strategically how to talk to them on what they claim to value with Christianity. Shake those people up, but never with disputing, never with arguing. You have the truth. Pick your battles. And one thing you can do is keep in Christian love. Offer them links if you find things that are good links to either good prophecy teachers or to maybe evidence if somebody's going, you know, whatever's going on. If you find good evidence, give it to them. Prayerfully give them those links. But stay in Christian love, stand strong, and tell them these are the last days. Because here's the thing. I talked to a guy the other day. He's like, yeah, of course, I believe in God, and, you know, but he was one of those guys that would be like, he's kind of neutral on what's going on. And I'm like, you have a job to do right now. You have to understand, we are in the last days, and we could get raptured at any time, and people you know don't even know the gospel, because you want to be polite. Right? And they don't even have a chance to get out of this terrible thing that's coming. And so you have to tell them, look, here's what we see. Here's the last days. Here's what's happening in our country. Here's where it's going to go. You have to make a decision, right? And those are the people you've got to stir them up, because they have to join the team, right? And then the bottom part, people who are in your circle, but they're not walking with the Lord for whatever reason. They've fallen away, or they never believed in the Lord. They go, yeah, of course I believe in God, but they, whatever. So anybody in your life, your close family, who anybody who does not, is not walking with the Lord, these are your top priority, all right? And those are the people you have to plan and pray about the absolute most. How do I talk to that person? How do I engage that person based on what they value, where I can get those connecting points? And so remember, you're always trying to build a trust relationship. Talk to people the way that you want to be talked to. And then eliminate anything that will distract from your ability to plant a seed, okay? Don't get entangled in the side things. I like to say, you know, well, you know, I don't like, I do. I like to say, you know, there's a lot of good questions there. You have some good questions. And then always steer it back to something important. But here's my concern, or well, I know how you are. I know that's really important to you that da-da-da-da. Whatever, and engage them in a way that doesn't make them feel like you're criticizing them, but that you are bringing them and joining with them in your thoughts and that camaraderie. You have to stand strong on the truth, but like, oh, let's talk about, like, for instance, vaccines. You know, I have concerns about them. I think a lot of you do. I can't tell somebody what they should or shouldn't do. I've got family that, you know, really wanted it. And I dropped a few little hints like, oh, well, you know, I might be, you know, I know some people have questions about it. I've said that. I know some people have questions about, you know, about it. How do you feel? Oh, no, I really want to do it. And I said, okay, you know, and you kind of feel them out. And then I found out more about it, and I'm like, I am convinced that, you know, certain people probably shouldn't get it. Well, my stepmom got her first shot already before I really, and I'm like, I'm not going to tell her what I think now. I don't want her, you're right, because why put that on her? Why make her feel that way? My sister got it before I even knew that they. And I'm not sure that they would have been interested to hear what I feel like I've heard. You have to kind of just know your person. Well, let's be honest. You know, there's all kinds of things that people can do that are unwise. We make mistakes all the time. The most important thing is that they get saved. And then it really won't matter what happens to them because of the vaccine. So you see, I have to make those decisions all the time. Am I going to sit there and get in this big conversation about vaccines? I have a personal belief, and I think I have good reasons for it. But what's more important is that I keep that relationship open so that I could talk about the things that really matter. All right, and those are the choices we're always trying to make. It's just let some of that dumb stuff go. Some of it's not going to have any significance. And so that's the tricky part. So you want to create camaraderie with those people, laugh a lot. You're not the person of doom and gloom. Every time they talk to you, you've got something to lecture them about, right? You're the person they have fun with, right? And as they enjoy you and have fun with you or enjoy their relationship with you, God will open a moment. That's your prayer. God will open a moment to say something, to connect with them, all right? Watch your tone. It's hard to interpret things when you text, by the way. You know, so first you want to watch your tone in person. People can read you. You can even say, come on, how many of us have had somebody say, why'd you say it like that? Mm-hmm. And what do we say? We say, oh, no, I didn't say it anyway. Yeah, we did. Right? You can't take that back. They know it. They read it. You have to just set your heart and have a good tone. Talk to people the way you want to be talked to, right? And then watch the texting, right, whatever it is, any kind of messaging that you do with text and not voice, very hard to interpret. You meant it one way, they may take it another way. So anything that's kind of an important idea that needs to be talked about, where you're explaining something to them, or maybe it's getting a little sensitive, don't hash it out in these back and forth you know, emails or texts or anything, that's dangerous because it's so hard. You can't see someone's face. You can't hear someone's tone. You can't quickly respond. If somebody, if you're talking to somebody and they go like that, you're like, okay, well, I better back off, right? You can't do that in a text or an email or Facebook post. So be thoughtful about where you have certain discussions. And if something starts and you're texting, you just say, you know what, this is a really important discussion. Maybe we can talk later, right? Try to do it so that you don't get trapped into something that could end up having a problem. And then use humility to disengage when you think something's getting a little heated, right? You have to decide now, am I going to just be a fool for Christ? Yeah, you know, be a fool for Christ. And it's like, oh, well, you know, I can, it's hard to argue with that. So, hey, are we going to go, boom, disengage, right? Oh, hey, I think we're getting a little, crazy here. Look at, I love you. I just, you know, I just telling you I love you. Whatever, just disengage from something as they get heated, whether it's somebody really close to you or somebody, you know, you're not super close with. And then respond to their attacks. And many people, and this is kind of how this started, is many people were getting attacked for things that they said, right? And how do you respond? So respond to attacks, accusations, anything that somebody throws at you. Oh, how can you support blah, 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 whatever. Anything that you can hear it, it's an attack. Turn it to a central question, right? Turn it to a central question. Somebody might go, I can't believe you voted for so-and-so. How can you support blah, blah, blah? Then just say, look, you know, that's all done now. We're in the new stage, and here's what I'm really concerned about, right? You might, and then pick a central issue. I feel like I'm seeing some of our, you know, constitutional freedoms changing. And I think these are some of the things I'm concerned about. Well, I know you don't want that, right? So you see, rather than respond to direct attacks, kind of do your little ninja move and turn it to something that's a question that diffuses the moment but hits a central point. Top of page 4, things to avoid. Don't force somebody into a corner. Don't force them to answer a question they don't want to answer. Like I said, do not criticize, don't accuse, avoid zingers or comebacks. Don't have a defensive posture. Avoid that. Do whatever you can. And if you catch it, change it, right? Just change it and go like this. Now, okay, I see. I know what you're saying. And I understand why you're saying that. So I get it, right? Here's just what's on my mind, and I don't know, tell me what you think, right? So just, and the whole time, I tell you, we want to jump on something and stop people from saying things we don't want to hear. Let them talk. That gives you time to pray and think and process, and at the right moment, God will give you one thing to jump in on. Who cares what if it's out there? Let them talk. Listen, show that you care about them, all right? And then listen, and you might hear something you actually didn't know before, right? And then you might learn something about what's really important to them. Sometimes they say one thing, it's really another thing. And if you don't let them talk, and if you don't ask questions, you don't realize, oh, it's really this, right? I tell this story. We were out street witnessing once years ago, and I'd all prepared myself for evangelism on science, right? Scientific facts of God, right? And I'd really been preparing a lot. I just had a lot of stuff prepared. And our group encountered this guy, and it was this woman that was with our group, but she said, oh, what do you believe in God? Or she just asked, you know, threw out a question, and he goes, oh no, I'm an atheist because I believe in evolution. And I thought, here it is. I got this one. Everybody step back. I'm ready, right? I'm prepared. And so I was all studied up, and I thought, well, Myrna knows that I've been studying this. I've been talking about this. So she'll probably say, well, you know, Wendy can answer your questions. So I was ready. I watched Myrna, and she didn't do that. And Myrna doesn't know a lick of science. And so I thought, well, I'm going to be polite, and I'll tell her later, right? And what did she say? She said, honey, I don't know. There's really good answers to your questions about science, but I'll tell you what, God loves you so much. He loves you so much, and he has a good plan for your life. And he sent his son to pay for your sins because you're that important to him. And whatever she said, however she said it, his jaw dropped and his posture relaxed. And he said, nobody's ever told me that before. And his ears were wide open. And I'm like, well, maybe God knows what he's doing, right? Right? Then the point is, we have to listen to the person. We have to listen to the Spirit, and we have to prepare, because sometimes I do talk about science because that's what they need. And sometimes they just need to know God loves them and has a plan for their life. And we don't get a key. The only key that we get is listening and praying and having our heart open and not spoiling it before we start, because we had to make our point, or we had to stop them in their tracks or whatever. And when you have the truth, you do want to do that. Oh, it's so hard. Yeah. I was real humble. Oh, no. It's funny. I met a guy the other day. I was talking to him about Jesus. And he goes, he said, well, I don't need God, and I think I'll go to heaven anyway. His is kind of a confusing thing. He doesn't need God. He thinks he'll go to heaven anyway. And I said, well, how are you going to get to heaven? And he goes, he says, well, I'm a good person. I care about people. I do the right things. And I'm humble. I said, you're humble? And he goes, yes, I'm humble. I go, oh, you just blew that one. And he got mad. And I go, I should have shut up. But that's how we are, right? I'm humble. Apparently not. No. Anyway, I told him, no, it's an old Christian joke. So these are the things to avoid. Plan ahead. All right, so you have to decide, I'm going to lay down my pride. Decide not to respond to accusations. And then think of some questions that you tumble around. You guys have made speeches up in your head before to somebody. Oh, when I talk to them next time, here's what I'll say, right? Well, make up some speeches now, some questions, some points. What are my core points I'm going to stick to? And how do I maybe invite discussion about them, right? It's about inviting discussion. And so looking down at the part below, plan ahead. So a lot of this came up because people were trying to defend Trump. And a lot of people were put on their heels because of the reaction after the election. And so you want to defend American values more than specific people or specific parties. It's not that you hide. You know, you can say, hey, this is the party. That's fine. You could do that. But a lot of times I don't put that out front. Believe me, I wanted to put, you know, signs out front of my house about what I wanted to happen in the election. But if you know, I have signs out front about Jesus. And I said, they're going to see this one, and they're not going to look at this one. And you got to make that choice sometimes. If you like, right here, right now, how do I glorify God first? How do I point to God or his values? Or how do I get people to God through core values? And here's maybe some things you could think about that you can use with people. Free speech. Freedom, right there, free speech. These are God's gift to us. These are core values, and they're core American values. God founded our nation on certain principles, and you could probably come up with more, but certain principles, free speech. And I like to ask people, you know, well, I know you're for free speech. What does free speech mean to you? Well, what do you think that means? It's a great question to ask, because things that we take for granted, when you have to explain it, it causes you to realize, you know, it doesn't make sense that free speech is only for people you agree with. Mm-hmm. That's not even, why would you even need to protect it, right? And you can lead them to this idea that, oh, wait, yeah, free speech is actually for people who say things I don't agree with or I find offensive. That's why it has to be protected. Otherwise, it's just, you know, survival of the fittest. Whoever's louder or meaner gets to shut up the other side, right? So ask questions. Well, what do you think free speech means? What does it mean to you? And you'll find as people are answering questions, they have to go through a certain process that they didn't go through before. And there you have a touch point. See, that's all it is. I would stand up for you. I'm hoping that you feel it's right to stand up for me or anybody else that's not popular at the current time. Because everybody, we need to actually hear different views. That's how we come to the right conclusions. So topics like that, equality, right? I like to use the term equal value because we kind of worn out equality. So I like to use the term equal value. Everybody has equal value because once I say that, I say we have equal value in God's eyes. We're all equal in God's eyes. People don't realize that those of us who believe in God, we're the ones that believe everybody's equal. Like, no, of one blood, all nations were, right? I mean, it's like, no, we're all God's kids. And they don't realize that. I think they need to hear that more. And we can tie that to God. And we can tie him to certain those quotes. Oh, well, you know, we all know that everybody came from Adam and Eve. We're all a bunch of cousins. Once you start talking like that and showing, are you kidding? That doesn't make sense otherwise, of course. And all that comes in God, and we all have equal value. So you see, we have these great core values in God, in the Bible, gifts to us, gifts he founded the nation on, that have political ramifications. You see, we don't have to have a political realm and a cultural realm and then a separate spiritual realm. It's all in there. And you ask the right questions, it all brings you back to God. You see, and that's how you do it. So you have to think about things that are on your heart and mind. Diversity and individual thought. God made everybody different. He gave everybody different skills, different ideas, right? Truth. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, you can ask somebody, okay, I know what you think. Whatever you think about the election, if that's a problem that's coming up. Whatever you think about election is totally fine. But, I mean... I feel like we all want to know what the truth is. I'm not sure anybody really wants to live a lie because it's a lie we like. I mean, or is that how we are? Right? So you pose things in a way, make them think about that. Well, no, that would be dumb, right? So you think about, bring those things out there. Justice, equal treatment, being governed by the people, consent of the governed. So look at some of these things. Rights are given by our Creator, not by humans. If the rights are delved out by humans, humans will take them away, usually because they don't, you know, it's for self-serving reasons. So it kind of makes sense. And I tell my students this, you know, I don't preach God or Jesus in my class. Obviously, I wouldn't do that. But I really talk about these foundational ideas. And we read the Declaration of Independence. And I say, hey, this is what Dr. King was claiming for himself in the civil rights movement. He quotes the Declaration of Independence twice because he wanted that for himself, and he's a pastor. And I tell students, I said, hey, you know, in America, you completely have the freedom. You can believe in God or not believe in God, believe in whatever God you want. Thank goodness we have that freedom. But you kind of want your government to believe in God because in your government, doesn't believe they have the right to take away your freedoms and your rights, that they're God ordained. Yeah.
Free speech is like free will. It's a choice of where you take it. And you could be obedient to what God directs you to do the free speech, or you could do whatever you want to where it brings corruption to the other part.
Yeah.
So like you're saying, we've got to be humble within our hearts how we present ourselves to somebody else.
Yeah.
If we don't examine ourselves first, as King David said in Psalms 51, he says, purge me, Lord. Search out my heart. Please do not take the joy away from me. So that way I can learn how to teach transgressors your ways because I'm learning from you what you taught me.
That's a good one. I'm going to use that one next time.
Thank God. Don't thank me.
Well, he's got some good stuff I've noticed. Have you guys noticed? Good stuff. Thank you. That was a good point. Let's look at the page 6, study your founding documents. Last time I handed out many U.S. constitutions, and I'd like to say run to your bookstore and you can get them, but I've been doing that. I bought them and they're gone, and apparently there's a run on them. Well, so that means something, right? So if you get a chance, order a U.S. Constitution. I would say if you have the courage and you don't care what Amazon thinks of you, or if you can get a hold of the Communist Manifesto, read chapter 2, and you're also going to find out a lot about what's going on. But the U.S. Constitution really is a foundational way to talk to somebody, and I want you to look at it and memorize some of the terms. In fact, I've got a tiny little, for whoever, anybody who doesn't have a U.S. Constitution, a mini one at home? Okay, so this is only some of it, because I did not want to run a lot. But these are the really big, good ones. Anybody?
I'll take one.
Yeah, I got, you want one? No, that's all right. So, who else want one? Okay, so this is, if you get the whole Constitution, that's better. This is something that, that if you put certain of these ideas, bury them in your heart, they're great ways to talk to other people and tie what's happening in the government today with godly principles, okay? So if you look at Declaration of Independence, I only did the first part. It's longer, so just know I put dot, dot, dot. There's more. But these are the good ones, especially when you go to, it talks about the laws of nature and nature's God entitle us, so that's a good one. But look where it says we hold these truths. A lot of you have just heard this before. I go over this with my students. You have to slow down, and you look at it, and you bear it in your heart. We hold these truths to be self-evident. It's obvious. You don't have to explain it to anybody. This is what the founder said, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How fun is that? It's like, what? It's like very serious legal stuff. And happiness, pursuit of happiness. You got to recognize the founders are trying to encompass everything, right? Because America was founded on the sense of individuality. They all left where they were because they wanted to find their personal. It's my way to be an individual and find my way, do what I want. My father was a baker. I don't want to be a baker. My mother was a housewife with 8 kids. But I want to be a seamstress and open my own shop. I mean, right? So they come here and they want to live their life. And, of course, most of them were, a lot of them were fleeing persecution. And so you look at that. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and then here's the second part. A lot of people don't get this. That to secure these rights, governments were instituted among men, all right, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And we look at, you have to have consent of the government. You have to have, this is what I agreed to. I agreed to this government. You have my consent. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, but the way the government is set up, you have my consent, right? And so think about that. That's a great phrase to have. That is what the government is for. And then you read the rest. If it's destructive of these ends, you have a right to overthrow it. Probably don't post that on Facebook. Somebody will, you'll get a knock on your door. They've been rounding people up. Did you guys know that? They've been literally picking people up who went. They've been picking people up who went to Washington. Bill of Rights. So this is, Constitution of the United States. Anybody have this memorized?
The preamble?
Yeah, the preamble. There we go. We got one. Come on. I bet some of you guys have it memorized. How did you memorize it? No. No. How's it stuck in your head? We the people. It's in a? How do you have it stuck in your head? Okay, I grew up in the, when did I grow up? 70s. We had Schoolhouse Rock. Hey, cartoons can teach you. Schoolhouse Rock. I learned the preamble of the Constitution through Schoolhouse Rock. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. All right, so this is a good one. The whole thing is important. Establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. All right, so they established the Constitution, and of course you need to know it's a three-part Constitution. You need to know the branches. I mean, stuff came up this time that we've never looked at before, we've never thought about before. What's, you know, all these different things about elections and stuff. People are reading it, reading, oh, what does it mean to have, to insurrection? What does it mean? How to impeach? And everybody's getting their little constitutions out and reading sections they never read before. You want it because somebody might try to change it, or they might not allow you to have it online. I looked at I tried to look at a video the other day, and it says, this is mature. Sign on to make sure that you, I'm like, it's not mature. It's, you just want to know who I am. All right, so we'll skip. There's a lot of important stuff, but I'm skipping straight to the Bill of Rights. You need to know the First Amendment. Like, you need to know it. We crammed all the really great stuff in one amendment. They say, oh, what should we have? Well, right? First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Get that clear in your head so that you can say it. Because when you quote the Constitution, you're quoting authority. It's no longer you making an argument, right? And you're basically saying to people, are we going to, look, we didn't change it yet. Are we just going to, like, stop doing some of that stuff or what, right? So you see, it gives you a foundation for a discussion. Or, here, this is the big stuff, abridging the freedom of speech. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Abridging that, we have the strongest free speech. I mean, all over Europe, they're making hate speech laws, all kinds of laws about speech, and they're random. Like, they don't define them. Here's what hate speech is. Now, we'll let you know. Oh, thanks. I feel great. They're prosecuting. People are getting prosecuted under Europe's hate speech laws, especially Germany. And you're like, how was I to know that you consider that hate speech? Well, now you do. I mean, you know, this is a runaway. And I would ask some of your friends, do you want it to be like that? Would you, how would you have liked if your speech was governed by the government, like, and made illegal by the government, or silenced by the powerful arms of the government? Oh, that wouldn't happen to me. Really? Because did you like Trump? No, I didn't like Trump. I said, so it's okay if he has the power to do that to you if he gets back in office? No, I would not like that, right? Guess what? If you wouldn't want it to happen to you, then you shouldn't want it to happen to a fellow American.
If the First Amendment don't work, for sure the second
is there to back it up, right? I like that. I've been hearing that.
That's the one I'm
gonna okay. All right. So we got the freedom of speech, freedom of press, the right to peaceably assemble, which we're doing right now. And to petition the government for redress of grievances. All these things have just happened, and we've been shut down. It's a sign of the times. And so know these things. Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment, these are great. The search and seizure, all that, that you should know about that. Know the amendments so that, you know, what Bank of America just did, what the some of the anybody who's gathering information on you and giving it to the government without a warrant, right? Shouldn't be doing that. So there's a lot of amendments you should know. I like the 14th Amendment because that was ratified in 1866. Let's not forget it was the Republican Party that fought for the freedom of the slaves, and the Democratic Party refused to let it happen, but people don't remember that anymore. And then the Republican Party, right after the Civil War, right, we freed the slaves, we actually gave citizenship to African Americans, and then we gave equal protections under the law, and then and the right to vote. All boom, 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 within a couple of years. And then the Democrats took it away in Jim Crow South. But we look at, I especially of all of them, I put the 14th Amendment because the 14th Amendment we've heard more about lately. It defines what a citizen is. A citizen is somebody born in the country and subject to the laws. And then it says, second sentence, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States or deprive any person of life, liberty, or property. We're getting that. Not life yet, liberty or property, though. Without due process of the law, nor deny any person within his jurisdictions equal protections of the law. If you, if it's a violation when they do it, it's a, then it should be a violation when they do it. If it's not a violation when they do it, then it should not be a violation when they do it, right? So that's equal protections under the law, right? So, so I mean, you know, you don't have to argue about whether something's right or wrong. All you have to argue is, well, you know, if these people are doing it, it's okay, but these people are doing it and it's not, that violates the 14th Amendment. It's simple, all right? So anyway, I have, I gave some important scripture that, you know, I just urge you to look at, recognizing the time that we're in. Bottom of page 6, you know, think about some questions that you can ask or some points that you can make ahead of time, depending on the sorts of things that you're getting, the things that God's gifted you with a certain vision about what to say to certain people. Maybe he's put certain things on your heart that you think people need to know this. This is a touchstone. Prepare your heart for whatever God's gifted you for. I can't tell you what to say, but you know what you're encountering. If you've prayed and told God, look, I want to be a light in this world, prepare my heart, make me humble, help me to speak, you can do that. And then you want to take a look at recognizing the times. We already talked about, you know, we look like we're in those times. When God's talking to them, you look at Zechariah, flip the page. God's trying to talk to them, but top of page 7, they refused to listen. They shrugged their shoulder. They closed their ears. They would not hear, made their hearts like flint, but God's going to judge them. And recognize that those who are enemies, outright enemies of God, God will judge. And that's what we're dealing with. And we have to be wise. All right. But then there's, and you see Acts, look at 2 Timothy, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, right? And there's, you know, reminders of how to engage in conversation with people. And then Luke 21 is a reminder that we will go before. Somebody going to take you to court? Don't shake your fist at God. Say, why me? I'm a good Christian. Well, he said it was going to happen. If somebody takes you to court, if so, you get taken before the law and you didn't do anything wrong, that he's going to turn it to an occasion for a testimony, right? He said he was going to do this. Do we think this didn't apply to us? And he will give us wisdom that our adversaries will not be able to resist. There's just thousands of people right now suffering persecution, you know? Thousands of people around the world suffering persecution, and they've made this decision, you know. And here we're just getting a little uncomfortable, but by your patience possess you your souls. And then there's some good passages about how to engage wisely. All right, so take a look at those. And so I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for listening. I guess we went a couple minutes longer than I intended to, but you guys are pretty patient. But I just want to know, if, and you could stay and ask. If you need to go, you can go. So I'll pray so that we can do that. But if you have questions, if you have particular things that you're running into, whether it's something I've talked about specifically or it's just on your heart about talking to somebody, please stay and I'll answer questions, all right? So it's just been great. I hope this was helpful. I know I kind of... But it's about conditioning our hearts in love and truth, wisdom, patience, and don't step into Satan's traps. All right? So let me pray. Well, thank you so much for just these really super neat people that I have fellowship with. And Lord, just pray by your Holy Spirit that you continue to refill us with your wisdom and truth. Help us to understand the times that we're in, what you're asking us to do. Help us to share the truth of Christ. We all know the gospel, and no matter who we are, whether we're really bold or we're kind of a quiet people, you're going to use this time to give us opportunities. They'll match our personalities. They'll match where we walk in life and our sphere of influence. And so we just pray for that wisdom, for the Holy Spirit, and for the truth that we need to engage this culture, this society, this political sphere at this time as the days are running short. And so we put it on your hands because you're the king and we're undercover for you. So give us success. And we just ask you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.